Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, as we've talked about a couple of times over the last several months, the Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education, they are the folks who oversee our 14 publicly owned universities across Pennsylvania, what I have called the jewel of Pennsylvania, a way for us to educate middle-class, working-class kids, give them an opportunity to get an affordable education and to do better. You know, the idea is education is your way to move up, to move forward. We should make it accessible. We should make it affordable. But the state system seems to have this idea that what we need to do is we need to take those 14 and dwindle them down to simply, what, six, eight? By getting rid of, four of them. They've got six schools that they're going to consolidate into two separate ones. They're going to take what looks like Bloomsburg. I guess this is the proposal. They're going to take Bloomsburg University, Lock Haven University, and Mansfield University, and they're going to combine all of them in the north part of the state of Pennsylvania. And then Edinburgh, Clarion, and California University of Pennsylvania, they're going to combine them in the west. So you're going to take six and make two. And somehow they think that this is going to be helpful to our kids and the next generation. I think it's a horrible mistake. I think we should be funding these things at the proper level, and we should make sure that they're there for generations to come. And here to share some thoughts on this bad idea and what happened yesterday during their forum, I've asked Jamie Martin to come talk with us. She's the president of APSCUF, the Association of Pennsylvania State Faculty and I always forget that. Jamie, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick. It's really always really good to be with you.
My mind just went completely blank for a second, and I'm going, you know, the Association of Pennsylvania State College University of Faculty, right?
That's correct. Yes.
All right, I got it. Yes, I passed this test. Maybe I need to go back to school. Walk me through this bad idea, because you know I've read a couple of stories about it. We've talked a couple of times. I'm looking at this going, we're going to take six universities that are really important to the places that they are. They're important drivers of jobs and of the economy. But more importantly, they're geographically placed in places where we can pull people into those areas and get them good educations. Now we're going to destroy all that? It seems short-sighted. It seems wrong to me.
Yeah, well, and again, thanks for highlighting this issue for us. This is something we've been concerned about since the process began. So you're right, they're talking about three in the west, three in the north, and consolidating those into two. We have a lot of questions. The students have a lot of questions. We didn't see answers in the plans that were introduced. And so we've been moving forward as APSCUF, holding some open forums so that people can speak up, share their ideas, share their views about this. And what we are hearing are the same kinds of concerns we've had. So let me lay out some of those. You know, each of these universities is over 150 years old. So they've been in those communities for a long period of time and have evolved into our, you know, Pashi system and into the universities. The major concerns that we have, it's clear from the plan that it's not going to save money. So it's going to cost more than it would save. It seems very clear that students are going to be forced into a hybrid model of courses. And so we have students, you know, already saying, I don't like what I'm experiencing right now over this last two semesters.
Right.
I don't want to have to be in a situation where I'm forced into taking hybrid classes to complete my major. It's, you know, they're just all of those questions. We have questions about accreditation, questions about the NCAA and whether or not they'll allow athletic teams at all six universities. So there are a lot of questions that we don't have answers to, and yet they're planning to move this process, making the most significant changes in the state system's history in 9 months. So from start to finish, this began in October, and the final vote is slated for mid-July.
Wow.
So what we keep hearing is, you know, let's pump the brakes. Let's get some answers. Get students the opportunity to voice their opinions when they're back on campus in the fall.
Yeah, let's not pump the brakes. Let's slam the damn brakes on. Hold on a second. It's bad enough that they've got this bad idea, but then ram it through like this. it seems really, really short-sighted to me because, you know, as you said, these are long-time institutions in these communities. I think the community should have some say in it because, after all, they are owned by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. They are owned by we the people. We should have at least some input into it.
Yes, and you know, so it was, we had some events of our own, open forums, but the state system had the first two of the four events today. And we were hearing comments like, I didn't even know that this was occurring. I didn't know that the consolidation was occurring. I didn't know that this forum was happening. I didn't know how to log in. I just found out 15 minutes ago. You know, a lot of students saying, a lot of my friends aren't aware of this. They have a lot of questions. They don't know how to get those answered. So you're right, you know, these universities are critically important. They were designed to help, you know, working class kids, right? Kids from working class families attain a higher education, and to be doing this kind of major consolidation in such a short period of time without having answers seems short-sighted. And, you know, the questions that we have is, what if this goes badly?
Yeah, I mean, there's no going back then. I mean, once you've done this, there's no going back from it. And you know, as you were speaking, I was remembering back 2010 when Governor Corbett was slashing the higher education budget, and you guys and a number of the universities and students put together a rally on the Capitol steps. And I was waiting to speak at the rally, and there was a kid I met who was standing in the background. Who told me the story that, you know, he was the first in his family who was going to complete going to college. He said his grandfather had wanted to go, couldn't afford it, went to work in the mill, doing whatever it is they did. But, you know, he wanted to make sure that the father went. You know, the father began going, ended up being sent to Vietnam. And, you know, before you know it, you know, life happens. He didn't get to complete his college education. This kid was going to be the first who was going to be able to complete a degree. He was a senior at the time. And he said, problem is if I don't get to do this, if I don't get to finish my degree, there's no mill for me to go back to. And this is what we've done to this next generation is we've taken the jobs that you fell back on. And you've said, this is your only shot. Go into debt, skin in the game, all of that nonsense. And now we're going to make it that much harder for that kid who was struggling to get by as things were. We're going to make it that much harder on him to complete his degree. It's insane to me.
Right. And, you know, and you're always spot on with all of these points that you're making, you know, so the cuts, we go back to the massive cuts we've suffered. We haven't recovered. And that's really I think that's where the fight should be, right? That's what we should be all pulling together, faculty, staff, students, and the state system, and really going in and advocating for additional funding for the state system of higher education. That's what we need. Instead, we're going to say we don't have the funding, so let's consolidate these universities and make it, you know, for that young man, not only potentially more expensive, but now being forced into hybrid courses, having to take, you know, a hybrid course while he's at Bloomsburg, zooming into a Mansfield classroom or vice versa.
No, it's crazy. And for me, you know, when I think about this stuff, I think about those kids that I met. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk to people who have gone and work in our state system. These are dedicated people who want to do what's best for the kids and for our state. And for me, if we lose this, you know, Pennsylvania, as you know, is one of those states that, you know, the younger generation is leaving. And that's been happening for a while. I say we make sure that we have an opportunity to educate them here, keep them here and get them jobs here. So for me, I look at this and our legislature has let us down. You know, I go back to something one of your predecessors told me years ago. He said, you know, back, you know, when I was a younger man, the tuition was something like, you know, 2/3 of it was picked up by tax dollars. About 1/3 of it was picked up by tuition the students had to pay. Today, that number, and I'm sure you've updated it even better, but today that number is the students are picking up 3/4 of it, and the tax base is picking up just 1/4 of it. So we've seen a massive redistribution of wealth and a massive redistribution of cost onto the people who can least afford it, those working class families who are struggling to get by as is.
Right. And so, you know, we are still 47th or 48th in the nation in funding for public higher education. It has driven up the cost of tuition for our students. They're leaving with massive student loan debts that they're, you know, probably postponing buying cars, buying homes, doing all of those kinds of things so that they can pay off their debt. We were happy to see that there is another bill introduced to consider the Nellie Bly Scholarship Program that would provide scholarships for students in the state system of higher education. That was something that came today. So, you know, any way we can find funding to help offset the cost for students, we should be doing. But to get back to the consolidation plan, I think at the very least, it needs to be slowed down so that we can have a thoughtful, reflective examination of some of these outstanding questions.
Right, I'm with you. So how do we do that? I mean, you know, on the funding question, I love the idea of giving people scholarships and helping where you can. But at the end of the day, we just need to fund these universities. We need to make sure that their base funding is there so that we're not raising tuitions on everyone, as we had done in generations past. You know, I have people who are my age and older going, well, you know, I had to pay my way through school. No, not at this level. And this is, I think, the issue that's it's most important for people to understand. What we've done is we've completely saddled a generation with massive student loan debt and then said, oh, well, you know, you got to have skin in the game. Nonsense. We need to be funding this stuff. Now, back to how do we stop this? Because at some point, we got to figure out how to stop this. Does this come with mass rallies? Does this come with general strikes? What do we see coming out of this?
Well, I guess I will say this. There were the two sessions today, one at 8:30, one at 8 o'clock, one at 4:30. Probably 50 people spoke. One person seemed to be supportive of the plan, and the rest were opposed. There are two more sessions tomorrow. And, you know, the chairman of the Board of Governors is there, Chancellor Greenstein was there, and others. I hope they are truly listening. I hope they're taking to heart what they're hearing. And if that happens, then I would suspect that a vote would be delayed. Because if they could hear all of what's been being said from the heart, you know, from a father who said, I have two kids in high school that I was hoping they would go to one of these schools. You know, a woman who was a college student in the 60s talking about her experiences. If they can listen to all of that and then turn around, dismiss it and still vote on July 15th to move this plan forward, I don't know what else could stop it.
Ultimately, doesn't this come down to a political decision, though? I mean, the reality is, you know, it sounds to me, and you can obviously you're the one in the room with these people. It sounds to me like they got a fetish, they've got something on the brain, and they're going through with it, come hell or high water.
I guess there are times I try to be an optimist, and I am hopeful that maybe they are going to hear. That all of these comments are going to resonate, and they'll say, you know what, there are a lot of questions and we do need to think about this. But I don't know, Rick. I keep saying, you know, I've heard a lot of people say we have to do something. I think we need to make sure the something that we are doing is the right thing.
Right.
And the way to do that is to slow down. Let's get the questions asked, have them answered, let the students be heard, especially let the students be heard on this. And then if it turns out that it's a great plan, then yay.
So who appoints these people on this board? Is this something that Governor Wolf can get involved in? Because at some point, there's got to be some break that says too far, too fast.
There are some political appointments on the Board of Governors. The governor has appointees, both House and Senate, Democrat, Republican caucuses have appointees, and then there are others. It's about a 20-member board. There's student members. This vote in July would require a two-third vote of the board to move it forward into the implementation phase. So I hope the individuals on the Board of Governors, I hope that they're listening too. You know, APSCUF can make these points. AFSCME has been making similar points. But if we're willing to move forward on this kind of a significant, massive change to the state system without hearing from our students, that would be, I think that would be shameful. And they especially deserve a voice. And the best way to make that happen is when they're back on campuses in the fall. Let's go and have them in an auditorium where we can sit down and say, here's what this means. Ask us your questions and let us answer those.
Yeah, because here's my fear above and beyond all of this. They get this consolidation plan done. They cut off four universities. They go and, hey, a couple years down the road, because this is what usually happens. A couple years down the road, well, you know, we need another cut. Well, let's sell off this. Let's hock off that. Let's sell the furniture. Let's sell the curtains. Let's just, until you have nothing left. That's my fear. And look, I got a 12-year-old daughter who's dying to go to the school that my wife went to. Wants to go to her alma mater so she can go there too. I want that school to be there by the time that she gets around to being college age. How do we get in touch with the people who are going to vote on this? For me, they're obviously the key. Is there a way to communicate with them? What are you suggesting we do?
All right. So you can go to the PASHE website, and they have a form that you can fill out and submit any kind of written comments that you might want to have. We're having additional forms. I think if you go to the APSCUF site, there's probably a link from our site directly to the PASHE site. We're trying to, I'm not sure if their emails are available, but certainly it's going to be those 20 members that will make the decision about whether or not this moves forward. And that vote, I think, is slated for July 15th. So those would be the individuals. Certainly, you know, Governor Wolf, I think he has areas where you can submit comments as well. So those, I mean, that will be the group that will make that decision.
I'm of the mindset we go knocking on some folks' doors, take a couple hundred people, go knock on people's doors and say, hey, this is serious. There's no hiding behind email. There's no hiding behind public comments. We know who you are. This is how we, the people, want you to vote. But then again, that's just me.
Yes. Well, if I can leave you just with one short story that came out at one of the hearings today. It was a colleague from Bloomsburg University who said that a student of hers said something to this. It was to this effect: I don't understand why students from wealthy families can go to the university, whatever university, private university, and have fully face-to-face classes, and for a poor student like me, I'm not worth that, right? I have to be into a situation where I'm going to have to take a lot of my classes online. That doesn't seem fair.
Nope.
And I would have to agree with that young student's assessment. That doesn't seem fair.
I agree. So we call the PASHE people early. We call them often. Have our voices heard. We'll get links out on social media, and we'll make a push to help, because we want to make sure that those universities are there for future generations. Jamie, I appreciate you taking time for us. As always, good stuff.
Thanks. Thank you, Rick. Have a good evening.
Good stuff, Jamie Martin. Make sure you check out their website, appscuff.org. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
Hello, I'm David Philman, Executive Director of AFSCME Council 13, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. A union of over 1.4 million strong and growing, AFSCME is gaining improvements in the workplace all across America. And right here in the Commonwealth, more than 95,000 AFSCME members make Pennsylvania happen. Highways, libraries, hospitals, parks, offices, prisons, classrooms, museums, courtrooms. You'll find AFSCME members at work in all these places and many more.
I make Pennsylvania happen every day.
I make Pennsylvania happen every day.
Today's AFSCME members take on public service jobs as diverse as they are, not for the recognition, but for a better Pennsylvania. For more information, please visit our website at AFSCME13.org. Labor is changing, so is your labor union. We are AFSCME.
We make-